we haven't gone along to Fusion, and I didn't want you to miss out on the Fusion experience, so I brought along a few props this morning just to get you into the mood for Fusion. So we have, first of all, our sleeping bag. I'm not going to try and get it out of here because I'll never get it back in. If anybody is feeling the urge to put up a tent, then we do have a tent here as well, okay? Walking boots, essential. I think wellies, from what you've just said, might have been more essential as well. But in the bag, I have everything that would be the kit that would be required for a weekend at Fusion. So we have our instant barbecue. You're only going to eat once, so you only need one barbecue for that weekend. Okay, so that's great. Okay, then we have, obviously, some reading material here. Old age comes at a bad time. Well, somebody gave me that, and I've never had a chance to read it, so perhaps I'll look at that as well if I was away. Obviously, the bag for those dirty clothes, and there's going to be lots of those. I'm always one of those who likes to be prepared, and Bear Grylls always seems to carry fishing twine with him. So I thought, well, why not take some fishing twine just in case the food does run out? So we've got our fishing twine in here. Now, in case of snow blizzards or anything else, we've got our snow shovel here, but it does double up just so that in case there are all very long queues at the toilet, you need to take something else, which is unmentionable, and there we have. So you are well prepared and well organized. Of course, hygiene is so important, so essential to carry with you your hand sanitizing gel. We've got everything there that we need. I think if that was the only connection we had with Fusion this weekend, that would take us to Fusion. But of course, it's not the only connection we have with Fusion in Norwich this afternoon, last night. We have our Lord with us. And this morning, our worship has been absolutely awesome, leading us to the throne of grace this morning, in the same way as God will be present with those who are at Fusion, because he's the same God. And wherever we are, he is with us. So we can be assured this morning that he is with us. The word that God has been laying on my heart over the last few days is about pioneer and being a pioneer. And I believe that's also the word which is going to be shared at Fusion. So there we have another connection with our God. That ours is a God who wants us to understand what it is to be a pioneer. A pioneer just where we are. Not perhaps a pioneer who's going to go to a distant land, although I know some of us are going off on travels over thousands of miles in the next year. But God wants us to be a pioneer just where we are. A pioneer within our family. A pioneer within our schools and within our colleges. A pioneer within our workplace. A pioneer with our extended family. And I'd like us to explore that this morning as we come before the Lord. As I was praying this morning and having my own devotion time and getting ready for this morning's service, the Lord left two verses of scripture on my heart, which I'd like to share first of all, because I feel that God wants to give these words to somebody here this morning, perhaps more than one person. But God is going to break his word to us, and he gives a very personal word, and this is a personal word for someone or several people here this morning. And it's from Psalm 94 and verse 14. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Can we just pray for a moment as we ask God to bring that word to those he means to receive it this morning? Father, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. A father who wants to speak to your children. I pray this morning, Lord, that each one of us would have ears which are open to hear your voice, would have eyes to see the path that you lay before us, to have bodies which are fit and ready and equipped to move as you would challenge us to in these coming days. But especially for this word, Lord, I pray this word is very purposeful and personal to someone here this morning. And I pray that you will bring that word to their soul and their spirit just now, that they will respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's see if this does work. Might be pressing the wrong way. There we go. This morning then, I want us to think about this whole idea of being a pioneer. I am a pioneer. You are a pioneer, and we are pioneers together. But what does that mean? Over the last few weeks, that word's been going round and round and round in my head. When I spoke to Alan about this service, he said the theme for Fusion would be pioneer. And I kept going away and thinking, well, pilgrim would be a better word, Lord. Really, pilgrim would be really better than pioneer. But Lord kept coming back saying, no, pioneer is the word that I want you to bring. And it got to the point where it was a little bit like that Star Wars character, and I couldn't remember his name, you know, the little sage who speaks to everybody. And he's got that funny little voice where he speaks in very short sentences. Anybody know his name? That's the one. That's the one, I'm sure it is. I just couldn't remember it. I've got dot, 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 dot here in my notes. And it was almost like, pioneer, I am pioneer. Pioneer, you are pioneer. And he kept going over and over, and I was seeing that image. So God wanted us to hear that word this morning. But what does he intend for us to hear from that word? Praying and reflecting upon it, I was drawn... So we're going backwards, we go forwards. Next slide. It's drawn to these images. Whenever I think of pioneers, it's perhaps of those pilgrims who set sail from Europe, many areas of the world, to the United States, who then, when they arrived, the world wasn't the type of world they were hoping it would be. So they set out on foot, often carrying their worldly belongings with them, in carts, some perhaps pulled by horses, but they set off across the plains of America in search of new life. A life of plenty they wanted, a life free of religious persecution for some, a life free of racial intolerance, a life free of poverty, a life free of injustice. People looking for a new life, a new start. They're often referred to as trailblazers, finding a route across unknown territories so that others could then follow them to those new areas of the world. They were pushing on one step in front of another into what was their promised land, a land where their dreams would come true. Is this what God wants us to hear this morning? That we are pioneers in the same way, pushing on into new opportunities, new lands, new territories, becoming trailblazers for him. Paul was thinking this way with the early church when he said these words, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ." Is this then what God wants us to hear this morning? A pioneer, you, I, called to forget what is behind, press on to the goal, the prize he's laid before you. What a thought. Perhaps we are being held back, prevented from moving on, prevented from being that pioneer, entering a new promised land, because we're looking back, keeping our eyes on what is gone, rather than looking ahead to what is promised for us. Worship group this morning and their choice of songs were so apt for us with this idea of breaking free from the past. thinking of Amazing Grace. Think of the life of John Newton, who wrote those words, the slave trader, that captain who for many, many years had been party to such injustice, such inhuman acts in transporting slaves, people, human beings across the world. And he came to that point of realization that that life wasn't the life that he was born to live. He was born to live a different life. And he needed to break free and break free from the past and the hold that the past and his present had on him. A pioneer then breaks free from the past. That concrete-like grip on their head which turns him away from the promise that lies before him. Instead, he keeps his eyes behind. We need to break that concrete-like grip. We need to break those tendencies which have us turn back and look behind, that turn us away from seeing the Lord before us. How can we possibly move forward if we're constantly looking back? We'll end up just going round and round in circles, revisiting the past, revisiting the experiences, revisiting the pain, perhaps from that past, revisiting the times when we felt let down, revisiting the times when perhaps we felt betrayed, revisiting the times when we felt that God wasn't there for us. Because we're looking back. How can we see God before us if our eyes are looking away from our Lord? This morning, God wants us to break free. Free from the past, pressing on to the goal which is yours. Isaiah knew this truth when he proclaimed that the coming of Jesus would bring freedom. Remember the words as he was looking ahead to the coming of our Lord? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. They will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Is that what we want? To display the beauty of our Lord? To have that joy in our life? Of course it is. You ask someone, however they are, whoever they are, whatever their experience of life, do you want some joy in your life? The answer would be yes. They'd be foolish to say no. And God offers us that joy. God offers us a transformation away from the despair and the pain that perhaps had been our experience in the past. Really? Freedom from the past? It's hard to believe sometimes, because we get ourselves into such a place that we think nobody can possibly take away or help us forget that past. Perhaps God's saying he's not going to make it possible to forget the past, but he's still going to allow us to move forward from that past, not to be held down with concrete shoes around our feet, stopping us from moving forwards. Perhaps it's not the past, though, which stops us from becoming a pioneer, moving into a new sphere of life that God would have for each one of us. Perhaps it's disbelief. Me? Really, God? Me? Ordinary? Me? Normal? Me? Well, most of the time. Man? Me? Woman? Me? Is that possible? I'm just me. You are a child of God. Hear that word. You are a child of God. God has adopted you into his family. And like any good father, he wants the best for you. God knows you as you are. And he wants the best for you. You're not ordinary to God. You're his son, his daughter, most important person to him. So perhaps it's disbelief which holds us back. One feature of those early pioneers is that they were ordinary people. People who put one foot in front of another, not thinking of that journey that lay before them, that perhaps it was thousands of miles. They didn't know. Nobody had been there before them. They were trailblazers. They were setting out into uncharted wilderness areas. Nobody had been before, so how could anyone tell them whether it would take a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years to reach their destination? But it didn't hold them back and stop them. They set out one foot in front of another. God led them forwards towards a promise. And our God is the same God. A God who wants to empower us equally to move forward, just one step at a time. Scriptures are full of ordinary men and women who were called by God to be pioneers. And they did extraordinary things by trusting in God to help them put one foot in front of another. I was thinking of Moses, a murderer, fugitive from the law, who God called, and he set out one foot in front of another. I think of Samuel, a young boy who, when he first heard the voice of God speaking to him, was confused, didn't know who God was, couldn't understand that voice. And Eli the priest sent him and said, just go and listen. And he kept coming back. Who am I listening to? What do I do in response? Go back and listen. Samuel, a young boy, never heard the voice of God before. Or what about David, a young shepherd, one of the worst jobs perhaps in society at the time? People who were shepherds were treated as outcasts almost, because they lived with the sheep. They were dirty, they were smelly, people didn't want to know them, nobody wanted to do that sort of job. And yet David, a young shepherd, the youngest son of one of the smallest tribes of Israel, went on to become one of the greatest kings that we know from the history of the scriptures. What about Peter, that fisherman? Jesus came and said, put down your nets, follow me. An ordinary man, ordinary men and women. Think of Rahab, the prostitute, who was protected by God because she saw something about the people of Israel that she wanted for her own family. And God protected her and led her forward. Ordinary men and women who hear the call of God, saw the promise that laid before them, and set out one foot in front of another. Consider Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Our sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm just too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Jeremiah perhaps was different to some of those other ordinary men and women. He was born into a family of priests. Perhaps he'd expected to be hearing from God, but God broke in an extraordinary way into his life. He called him to be a prophet at a really young age, and he served God for more than 40 years as prophet. He spoke God's word to the people during the reigns of three kings. He witnessed the nation's destruction by the Babylonians. He's sometimes regarded as the weeping prophet And we see that, and we see his despair in the book of Lamentations after Jerusalem had been destroyed. The people carried into captivity, the temple torn down. He was also the suffering prophet who was persecuted by kings, persecuted even by his own people, those near to him. Why? Because of his forceful condemnation of idolatry, social injustice. Eventually, according to Jewish and Christian tradition, Jeremiah was killed in Egypt by his own countrymen who had fled there. Now society's full of people a little bit like Jeremiah and the people of his time. People who, because of their experiences, have become deeply insecure, disbelieving that they are important, disbelieving that God would have any interest in their life. If we fell off the face of the earth, would anyone miss us? Sometimes people say. We live in a world where people desperately want to belong. In my school, it's one of the key features of children as they're growing up is they want to have and understand their identity. They want to develop friendships and they want to identify themselves with that group of people who are around them as friends. And that doesn't really change, I don't think, as we move into adulthood. We want to identify with those around us. We want to identify and have a group of people around who will support us and uphold us. We want to be in the midst of a place where we can have an impact, where we can leave almost our DNA on the world and leave something behind as a legacy for our life. That can often lead people into very strange associations so that they think by belonging they need to conform. They will alter their body image, they will alter what they wear, how they speak, where they live in order to conform. The world in which we live, the world of advertising, even plays upon that deep-set need within us. It tells us that you have to have this product if you want to have fun. You have to have this product if you want to be a beautiful person. If you want to be suave, if you want to be sophisticated, this is how you should live your life. This is what you should do. This is what you should wear. Oh, and of course, there's the unspoken message there, which is, if you don't have these, you're inadequate. Without this, house, car, product, pension, you've no value. Singer Lady Gaga had a pretty good message to counter this. In an interview, she said this. When she was a teenager, she used to get made fun of for either being too provocative, too eccentric. So she said she started to tone down her appearance. It's hard to believe nowadays when you see some of the lavish outfits that she does wear, but she felt she wanted to fit in, so she toned things down. She said, I didn't fit in. It actually made things worse. I felt like a freak. Now her message is that however you are is okay. One of her albums that she wrote was called is called Born This Way. And in one song she sings these words, God doesn't make mistakes. She's so close to the truth with that message, isn't she? God doesn't make mistakes. Somebody in the secular world proclaiming such a profound truth. God doesn't make mistakes. God loves us and he has made each one of us unique for a good purpose. The psalmist recognized this truth when he wrote these words. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Such knowledge God has of you and I. each day, each moment of life, he is aware of. Even before we become aware of it ourselves, he is aware and has knowledge of those moments. He knows us intimately. He's a plan and a purpose for each of us. And he calls us to claim that plan, that purpose, to be a pioneer, putting one foot in front of another, in the assurance that he knows where that foot will land, and the next, and the next, and the next, for each day of our lives. With that focus, we can look back and realize quite quickly that, as in the photograph I found there of the mountain climber, actually, we've climbed mountains before we realize it. It's quite daunting to see something before you as majestic as a mountain and think, I'm never going to be able to climb up there. Sometimes that's how we are in our lives. We face a situation, we come to a time where the mountain is before us. Or equally, we come to a place where we see a desert before us, a dry area, a dry place, a wilderness area, full of thorns and branches, and we can't see our way through. But God says, put one foot in front of another. Promise in Scripture to the people of Israel is, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Jesus himself promised that after his death, his Holy Spirit would come to guide us and sustain us and lead us into the promises of God. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. Notice it's not he might tell you. He will perhaps will tell you next week, next year. He will tell you. That's present. Now, he will tell you. God has a plan for each of us. A plan he wants us to see. And he sent his Spirit to open our eyes, our ears, and our mind to discover that purpose. The writer of Romans said, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. It's hard to get a sense of that when you're in the middle of the wilderness. It's hard to get a sense of that when you're in the middle of the desert place. It's hard to get a sense of that when you're hanging from that crevice and you can't see the handhold that will take you higher up the mountain. God says, trust me, put one hand, one foot in front of another, and I will lead you on. The writer of Proverbs, and this was it's one of my favorite pieces of scripture, it's been with me since I was a very young Christian, said these words, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. There's the present tense again. Yes, he will, he can, he will, he shall. Throughout the scriptures, we hear God speaking in the present tense to us. And why is it we find it so difficult to move in that present tense and put one foot in front of another? Perhaps it's because of that past experience, that sense of disbelief. But God is saying he wants us to recognize those truths, to become a pioneer, his pioneer, a chosen, beloved son or daughter, for whom he has a plan which will lead us to the perfect prize which is by his side. But here and now, as we journey, that journey of the pioneer, he wants to help us let go of the past, to look ahead and discover his perfect plan for our lives. One of the things that American pioneers looked out for as they were on their journey westwards was a high vantage point, somewhere they could go to catch a glimpse of the land which lay before them. Today, what a higher vantage point can we have other than by the side of our Lord? There is no higher place. And that's where God would have us be, standing with him. And by standing with him, we have that vantage point. We have that ability to look ahead, to look forward, to break the chains of the past, to break the chains of disbelief, to become that visionary pioneer he intends us to be. Writer of Hebrews put it in this way: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I'd like us just to focus for a moment and contemplate on those words we've been hearing this morning, how God is speaking to us. Recognize that God is the one who can break the chains which stop us from becoming who he would have us be. That he wants us to be a pioneer who is unhindered, free from that past and disbelief, standing with our Lord and able to see his perfect plan for our lives. It may seem a terrifying thought to step out in that way. You know, we live in such a technological society today that every step we take almost is planned. You get in your car and you can put on your sat nav straight away, even if you're going to the shop. Some cars automatically will go, and some people will put on their sat nav to take them to the local co-op. Or perhaps with your phone, you can click on and there you can find out exactly where you are. Well, usually we know where we are, but also it will tell you step by step the journey that you are taking. Or you can sit with it in the car and do the same thing. When we have our phones, they like to know where we are at any one moment in time. And you constantly get messages from Google, from Microsoft, from all of those different providers. Would you be able to let me know where you are at this moment in time? I want to know your position. I want to be able to see where you are. God knows where we are today. He knows exactly where we are this moment in time. He knows exactly where he would have us be tomorrow, in a week, in a month, in a year. God is the one who is looking over our lives and would have us move into all that he has prepared for us. It's terrifying to step out in that way. It's terrifying to step out and trust in someone other than ourselves. We're taught to be so self-reliant, self-sufficient. But God is saying, be reliant upon me. Trust in me. Become like that pioneer of old who steps out one step at a time. I am with you, and I've placed that foot on firm ground. I am with you and will uphold you. I am with you by my Spirit to the ends of the age. Break free. You are, I am, a pioneer. I came across a beautiful song that we're going to listen to in a moment by a lady who was a Christian songwriter and musician, and after 20 years in ministry, she was reflecting about her past and she was looking ahead to the future. And she wrote a song which was entitled Pioneer, very simply. When you listen to her sing these words, her voice is so crisp. It's so calming to listen to the truth of God speaking through her, that God does call us to be a pioneer. But as he calls us to be a pioneer, he doesn't say, right, there you are, get on and do it. says, I am with you every step of the way. So we listen to these words. I'm going to ask us to stand in a moment as we listen, because I think it's easier perhaps to take a step forward as we're standing rather than when we're sitting. And if for you this morning you're in that place where you want that reassurance from God that he can break the chains of the past, you want to receive that promise, you've been living in a period of disbelief, let God break that chain of disbelief and replace it with certainty, with security that he is with you and will lead you forward. As we stand, if we could stand just now, please. We can either keep our eyes open and just watch the images which will come on the screen, or we can close our eyes and hear the words and how God is speaking to us just now. But if we need to move one step upon that journey just now, one step which will break the chain, one step which will break the chain of the past, one step which will break the chain of disbelief, then come. We'd love to pray with you this morning, and there'll be members of the ministry team here who would help us just to come before God and receive from him that certainty and that reassurance of his presence as you take one step at a time. So we seem just to be having a... Need this again. Okay. Let's just close our eyes as we wait for that music to begin. To come before God. He is that good Father. The Father who would have us move forward, breaking chains which hold us, chains which prevent us from seeing the way forward, chains which stop us from believing that we can be anything other than enslaved, chains which stop us from receiving the fullness of his love, chains which prevent us from living today in the present and living the life in all its fullness which our Lord spoke of. Remember, Jesus came to set us free to be the person God has created us to be. So let's step forward. One step at a time. You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.